Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 8th day of September 2016. I'm Todd Gleason, fresh back from Purdue's campus, actually from their research farm just to the west of the campus, and their brand new Corn and Soybean Innovation Center for the state of Indiana. We'll hear more about that during the program this afternoon with the Department of Agronomy head there, Joe Anderson. But before we get to that, of course, Dan Zwicker will be here. He's with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, to talk about the markets and what commodities might be doing ahead of the USDA report that comes out at 11 o'clock on Monday. And after that, we'll discuss the same kinds of things in the cash grain situation with Matt Bennett. He's at Bennett Consulting, Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. As we wrap up our time together, Mike Tenora from T-Storm up in Chicago will join us to take a look at the weather forecast, a cool pattern coming in for next week. But don't worry, not that cool. Should just feel really good out as we head closer to fall, still the end of summer here at Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here are the numbers as they finished up in Chicago on this Thursday afternoon. September corn today at $3.27, up 6. December at $3.38.5, 5 and a quarter higher. The March up 5 and a half at $3.48.5, and the May up 5 and a quarter at $3.55.75. July 5 cents higher at $3.62.5, and December corn for next year $3.79, 9 and a quarter, up 4 and 3 quarters. Soy complex now, September soybeans $9.92. Even. That's up a quarter of a cent. November at 976 and three quarters, a penny and a quarter higher. January 980 and a half, up 1.5. And the March up a penny and three quarters at 984. July 990 and a quarter, up 2. And the November beans of next year up 3 cents at 943 and a half. Bean oil 13 cents higher. Bean meal up $1.30. Soft red winter wheat for the September, the lead option up a penny and three quarters at $3.77. July, the harvest month for next year at 452 and three quarters, 6 and a quarter. Quarter higher in July for the hard red, up 6 cents at $4.54.5. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished like this for the afternoon. October at $101.37.5, a dollar and a nickel lower. Feeders in the October, $2.20 lower at $128.55. And lean hogs in the October, 10 cents higher at $60.97.5. You're listening to the Closing Market Report.
Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
Let's check in on some of the energies now. Crude oil trading the October contract at $47.53 a barrel, $2.03 higher. Ethanol futures at $1.45.5, that's 2 6/10 cents higher. Diesel fuel or heating oil at $1.47.9, up 5 3/10 cents. And the wholesale price of gasoline for a gallon at $1.40 9/10 cents, 6 3/10 cents higher. Natural gas up 13 6/10 cents at $2.81 2/10 cents. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is 29 points lower at 18,485. U.S. dollar at 95.04 on the index, up 0.089. And the gold futures, $1,337.60, down $7.70. For the weather forecast this afternoon, thunderstorms are likely. 80% chance of rainfall, just 0.02 of an inch in the area. And we'll have a high of 82 degrees tonight. Considerable cloudiness, a 20% chance of rainfall, a low of 69. Tomorrow, thunderstorms are likely again, an 80% chance of rain. We'll get maybe 0.75 inch tomorrow during the day. 80 degrees is the high temperature for the day with a south-southeast wind at 10 to 15. Friday night, another 0.3 inch, 50% coverage, scattered showers and thunderstorms, and will drop to a low of 67. 50% chance of rainfall on Saturday, but just looking for 0.03 inch then. With a 75-degree high, and by Saturday night, We'll clear out to 52 degrees. It'll be beautiful outside with a northwest wind at 5 to 10.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers, helping farm families succeed for 100 years.
You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this 8th day of September. It's a Thursday afternoon. We're joined by Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
We are looking forward to a great, fantastic weekend. I know you love your Texas A&M folks down there, but it's...
Yeah, but we need some of that cool weather that you're having, 90 degrees and sitting on the east side of the field is not very... good at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, we're going for an evening event. Salute to agriculture this week. It should be just fantastic for football. The Lovie Smith era has begun. I don't talk about football a lot, but it's kind of fun to be around at the beginning.
Well, I
of
wish
New
Illini the best. You guys definitely need to see some improvement. It's time. been a long dry season for you.
Yeah, time to step it up. Okay, so let's turn our attention to stepping things up in the marketplace. Corn and soybeans have actually had a pretty good week. How do you see it?
Corn is really exciting, I think, the way it is trading. It did trigger in a buy signal here yesterday, and now we saw some good technical follow-through on it. We have exceeded last week's high, which is always a good sign. Soybeans did get a buy signal triggered here today on the system that I use. So the key now is, will we be able to put together a good close to finish out the week? We're higher on both of them, and if we could put a nice solid close on this market after the first full week of September, I think is a major task. This is when the seasonal tendency is dominantly down. It's very, very difficult to get a market to go up during the month of September. But if you do get one to go up in September, then you've got an awfully good rally in the making. And the reason it would be is the end users that were looking for prices to drift lower in October to buy their or cover their needs would be caught short, and then they would have to kind of chase this market higher during September, and that could give the corn and soybeans a much bigger rally than probably anybody would ever thought of just a week ago or 2 weeks ago.
Our conversations last week suggested that you would have preferred that one of the first couple of days of September, the market had been lower so that we might be able to put an outside up month in, and we're really early, of course, in September. Have your fears been alleviated at all in that capacity?
Well, if you look on the lead futures, that'll be the case. But if you go over and look at a December futures only chart, we do have a monthly reversal up in the works for December futures. But we do not have for September futures because that is the lead futures month. But December, we do have a monthly reversal to the upside. So I guess when I look at it and the way the market was able to follow through after I talked to you there on Thursday, I feel pretty good that the underlying fundamental structure is changing, and I think it's changing. Now, I know it's early, and not a lot of yield data has come in, but what yield data is coming in is suggesting that the corn crop is much smaller than what USDA has got penciled in. I'm hearing a lot of yields. They're not only under the 2014 level, they're unchanged and maybe even under last year's level in several areas around the Corn Belt. But now I do want to caution this early, but if that is the case and this crop is actually shrinking on us, then we've got the end user right where we need him. He doesn't have his needs covered, and the crop keeps getting smaller on them, and then that will chase the market higher here during September.
So I polled, or have been working to poll, the WILL analyst, both the regular analysts and those that you hear in Commodity Week. I've got about 13 back, and the average yield they've got, and USDA's at 175.1 at this point, I'm not finished putting these all together yet, is 172.3. But if you take a look at the medium, they're leaning a little heavier, but not much, 172.5. So that's kind of the average plus which direction they really are leaning. So they're leaning heavier, but not very much, and they're down, what, 3 bushels from USDA's number. That would put the size of the crop around 14.9, so much smaller than what USDA has in mind.
It's smaller, but I think you'd have to get it down to 170 to really make a meaningful difference, because the FSA data, I know that's misleading at times, but the FSA data indicates that there's 1 million acres of corn yet to be recognized by the USDA. Now, they probably won't do that, if they do that, until October, but their USDA may have to bump up corn acres 1 million. So there's 170, let's say, million bushels. So that basically would offset a 2 bushel decline. So I think if you could, that would take us down to 173 to keep the balance sheet unchanged. If you could get it down to 171, 170 area, well, then we would start changing the complexion of the market a little bit. But we still got some hurdles to go through. We still have that stocks report to go through, and there's reason to believe that the ending stocks number is going to be a little higher than what USDA's got on the books. What I see technically in the market, I have to be encouraged, especially since it's going counter-seasonal. Anytime a market goes counter-seasonal, that's a pretty powerful move, especially if we could finish off tomorrow on a strong note, Todd.
Corn or soybeans have been strong all week, too. What do you think of that market?
Well, soybeans, I think the yields, of what I've heard on yields, they are through the roof. And I think people are going to expect that. But you look at the demand side of the equation, and demand has been much stronger than what everybody thought here a month or two or 3 months ago. So maybe that might be enough to kind of offset it. We still have the South American growing season in front of us. South Americans at the moment, I think, are leaning toward corn because they had such a short corn crop. So the bean market might need to, even with our record crop here in the United States, it may need to kind of rally to ensure that they get at least their share of the acreage that's planted in South America. So the dollar is still struggling to hold its value. I think the dollar is still vulnerable to some price weakness as we go down the road. I'm still looking at a head and shoulders bottom formation in the crude oil. It looks like crude oil is going to have a meaningful rally as we go on into 2017. So that's encouraging toward ethanol demand on corn. All in all, at least right now, I would have to be generally positive toward at least better pricing opportunities as we go down the road.
Who would have thought that at this time of year, given the size of the crop and where we've been, that you might turn positive? But I suppose we've been negative pretty long. Hey, thanks so much for being with us, and we look forward to our conversation next week.
Very well, Todd. Talk to you next week.
That is Dan Zwicker. He's with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Joins us on this Thursday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. Earlier today, I made a quick 90-mile dash to West Lafayette, Indiana, actually to Purdue's Agronomy Center for Research and Education. That's the agronomy farm. It's about 7 miles to the northwest of the West Lafayette campus and houses something like 1,134 acres of farmland, a series of buildings, including the Back Agricultural Center. That's where we were housed for a good portion of the day today. It's a magnificent building. If you've not been by that facility, that research farm, you should go by it because it is a state-of-the-art facility, and it got better last week, in fact, when they opened the brand new Indiana Corn and Soybean Innovation Center on the same site. They're pretty proud of it, and rightfully so. I took a quick tour earlier today, and then I asked the department head there at Purdue, Joe Anderson, about the center.
Well, Todd, first of all, thanks for having me on your show. The building is just brand new. We just dedicated it last week. The president of the university, Mitch Daniels, was out to help us do that and kick it off. And this is a building that's 25,500 square feet. It's a building that was built with university dollars as well as support from the corn and soybean farmers through the checkoff programs, and some additional organizations like AgriLion Genetics donated some money. And so this is a building where we have new facilities for our faculty, staff, and students to take seed and plant off the farm, off the plots, bring them in and go through a state-of-the-art processing center. The other part of the building that's also very exciting for us is a collaborative space to bring agronomists and geneticists, crop management specialists, engineers, both mechanical, electrical, computer engineers, aeronautical engineers in the aeronautics department, aviation department, all to come together to talk about how do we measure in different traits that plants have so that we can understand genetics by environment, by management practices, and to develop and enhance our breeding efforts for corn and soybean, but also sorghum as a feed and a biofuel. So we're really looking at this interdisciplinary space that this building allows us to bring all of these folks together to work on projects to feed the world and provide food, fiber, and fuel for a growing population.
I was particularly impressed with the threshing and sorting units. Most of the producers will have been through some kind of threshing area at some point, mm-hmm. And sorting as it relates to seeds. Normally, they're dark, dingy, dirty, a lot of times musty sometimes, but they work well. However, this one looks and acts very much like a laboratory. It's inside, air-conditioned, has a lot of, it's not dusty at all, and I don't think it doesn't appear that it's going to get dusty. So this is really a lab that is on the cutting edge, I suppose, of what seed collection and sorting can look like.
Absolutely correct. The space was designed for safety, high throughput, for our researchers to come in and be able to hook up about 10 different machines to a central line that will take the debris, plant material debris, out and composted. But the other part is very bright lighting. The floor actually has radiant heating in it so that we can stand in a comfortable environment. Very dust-free. As you look at the all the ductwork that's attached to these shellers and sorters, all of that dust and debris is taken out so that the researcher doesn't even have to wear a dust mask. And so, as you said, Todd, this is a state-of-the-art facility. We worked with a number of companies to actually design the equipment, and so there's some unique capacity and capabilities within there to have our students essentially go out with state-of-the-art training so that they can go and get a job and actually not be retrained and understand what it means to work in a first-class facility.
This opened just last week here on the Purdue University campus. Again, I'd like to go back through the funding sources. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to understand that both the associations, Corn and Soybean Associations in the state of Indiana, through their checkoff dollars, paid for part of the building, and they paid for much of the machinery that operates within the building.
So we're very fortunate that the corn and soybean farmers, through their checkoff dollars, Indiana Soybean Alliance and the Corn Marketing Council donated $4 million to this building. $2 million has actually gone into the equipment that we have purchased, particularly in this seed processing lab and other places in the building. The other $2 million, $1 million from each of those organizations, has gone into a research fund that is an endowed fund where we'll take the endowment dollars, not the principal, but the revenue received from those endowment dollars that can continue to fund soybean and corn research in perpetuity. And so that's actually a very unique component of the dollars that were donated. So as I mentioned during the tour, without these dollars, we wouldn't have been able to purchase much of the brand new essential equipment within the building.
It's a direct investment by the state's farmers into the Land Grant University in Indiana for the benefit of them over time.
Yes, and we're extremely grateful to them.
Thank you so much, Joe.
Thank you.
That was Purdue University Department of Agronomy head Joe Anderson. I spoke to him earlier today at the Agronomy Center for Research and Education outside of West Lafayette, Indiana. Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Thursday, the 8th day of September. Matt Bennett is here. He's from Bennett Consulting, Channel Seeds, out of Windsor, Illinois. Thanks, Matt, for being with us.
Yeah, thanks, Todd. Thanks for having me.
I made my day away, as everybody knows by now, over to Purdue. However, I'm interested to see what you think about the marketplace at this point and where you think that'll end up.
Little run back up. A lot of good demand stuff coming out here this week, and obviously we've got more sales coming our way. You know, in my opinion, it's somewhat of a gift for those of us that have pretty darn good yields, and most people that are listening to your show have really good yields, so boy, I'd want to be protecting those as much as possible. I think as well with corn, you know, we've had a nice little run. Today we had a nice market, and I think that, you know, when you look at demand, it is phenomenal, and I do think the bottom line on yield is it's got to come down some. I mean, yes, not everyone agrees with that, but I sure feel like that's going to have to happen based on all the places I've been this summer.
Will USDA do that next Monday?
I think USDA will come down probably a bushel and a half, maybe. I don't think they're going to take big chunks. They never really do. But I do think they're going to come off the 175.1 and probably get under 174.
All right. And then anything that producers ought to be doing at this point, just watching the market move a little higher and waiting?
Yeah, I think that once they start to get in the field, you know, I've been saying this a while, but the stuff that they don't have room for at home and that they haven't sold ahead of time, I'd probably be more inclined to sell it and re-own it than I would to pay storage to see if I'm going to get a rally, because I'm going to have to pay storage whether I get a rally or not.
And finally, we only have a few seconds. Anybody moving in your area?
No, there's a couple of guys scratching around, but nothing real major just yet.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you.
That, of course, is Matt Bennett. He's with Bennett Consulting, Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. Joins us on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Thursday afternoon. We'll be back in a couple minutes. We'll talk with Mike Tenorum. He's at T-Storm Weather out of Chicago.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
It's National Date Nut Bread Day. Dates have been cultivated in the Middle East for millennia. Dates were introduced into Mexico and California by the Spaniards by 1765. Date palms can take between 4 to 7 years after planting before they will bear fruit and produce viable yields for commercial harvest between 7 to 10 years. On this day in agricultural history in 1636, the Great and General Court of Massachusetts Bay Colony established Harvard College, the first college in the Americas. In 1790, Canvas White was born. An American engineer, he assisted Benjamin Wright in the building of the Erie Canal. One of his great contributions was discovery of the ability to make cement from limestone along the canal route. And he ultimately received the first U.S. patent for waterproof cement. In 1930, Richard Drew invented the first waterproof, see-through, pressure-sensitive tape. Incidentally, 5 years earlier, Drew observed at a local auto body shop that auto painters had difficulty making clean dividing lines on two-color paint jobs. And after 2 years of effort in the company's labs, he also invented masking tape, a tan paper tape with a light, pressure-sensitive adhesive backing. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for agricultural weather on WILL comes from the Friends of WILL and from Busey. With nearly 150 years of agribusiness experience, Busey offers solutions, resources, and expertise to support landowners. Busey, your dream, our promise.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Thursday afternoon. Don't forget that we record Commodity Week today. It'll be up at willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org, by about 5 o'clock this evening. Our panelists tonight will include Kevin Van Trump of the Van Trump Report. He's out of Raymore, Missouri, along with Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities from Lafayette, Indiana, and Dwayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Commodity Week, our weekly look at what's been happening in the world of agriculture. Now let's check out the weather forecast with Mike Tenora. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Thanks, Mike, for being with us. It's been rainy here today, and I suspect, well, there may be a bit more and then kind of a cool down coming.
Yeah, it really has been, with a lot of rain over the last couple of days in the Corn Belt. As we go forward, we're going to see the rain that you've been dealing with today diminish over the course of the afternoon and into the evening. But the larger issue is that we do have another system moving through tomorrow and tomorrow night that will produce a lot of rain over these same areas that had significant rainfall of 1 to 3 inches over the last few days. So the southeast half of the Corn Belt is going to receive another significant rain, beyond what we have today, tomorrow and then into tomorrow night. And then finally, that pattern will end once we get into Saturday as a strong cool front sweeps on through.
This cool front will bring with it lower temperatures, but I don't believe there's anything to worry about.
That's exactly right. We don't see a significant frost threat on the immediate horizon. There could be temperatures in the mid-30s around Tuesday in far northern corn and soybean areas. That would mainly be in parts of North Dakota and then far northern Minnesota. But once we get past that, there's nothing behind it that we need to worry about. So we don't see frost as being a significant threat over the next 10 to 14 days.
What about the rest of the planet? What are conditions like for the end of the growing season in the northern hemisphere and the beginning of the growing season in the southern hemisphere?
Well, there's a few different things that are taking shape, namely in parts of eastern Australia and in northern China. Eastern Australia has been very wet over the last several months, dating all the way back to May. It keeps on raining, and it looks like it's going to keep on raining as we move through next week. So the eastern wheat belt of Australia does not need too much more in the way of rainfall just from some of the data that we're seeing. So that's kind of one issue to monitor. Will it rain too much in eastern Australia through the end of the month? The other issue is in northern China. We've talked about this region several times over the last several weeks, namely because they initially were in a significant drought in the northern corn and soybean areas of China. But as we moved into the last 10 days or so, they've been inundated with heavy rainfall from the remnant of a typhoon. As we move into the next few days and more so through next week, we'll continue to see areas of rain in this northern area of China. So that will be something to monitor. Whether or not it's been beneficial or hurtful is a good question, and one that we just don't know how to answer at this point. The only thing we do know is that harvest season typically begins right around now, so it's hard to draw too much in the way of a good conclusion on that, because obviously you'd like to have it dry when you're harvesting.
That, of course, is Mike Tenora. He's with T-Storm Weather in Chicago. You've been listening to The Closing Market.